to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
All right. Are you ready? You can stand if you like. I invite you to do that. You can clap if you like, but we definitely want you to worship.
Peace, 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 down in my heart.
an
overflowing well. No tongue can tell.
Sing that
joy, unspeakable joy. It rises in my soul.
Let her receive.
Oh.
Lord, we come together this day to celebrate you and all that you are, oh God. Lord, we're so thankful that you came to earth, a Savior for all mankind, oh God. Lord, and we can't help but think of the price that you paid also for us, oh God, that we might have joy in this world. Lord, we thank you that you came as a baby. And Lord, you lived and you suffered and you paid the ultimate price so that we could be saved. You died on an old rugged cross so that we could have salvation. God, you gave your only son because you loved us so much. So Lord, right now we just think upon you. We think upon your goodness, Lord, and we celebrate you. Lord, we may not have much to give this season, but Lord, we can give you our praise. Lord, I might not have much that's fit for a king, but I offer all that I am. I offer my praise, I offer my gratitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. We praise you, mighty God. We adore you, mighty God. Sing, oh come, let us adore him again. Here we go.
Oh come, let us adore.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue to worship, but we have a very special thing that's going to happen right now. We've got our kids that are coming up. They've worked on a couple songs for you, so come on up here, youngins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you children's church kids. That's a good girl. Yeah. It's like herding cattle. Got to get them up here, right? putting all their bills in place because they're instrumentalists too. Just say it. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. You sounded beautiful. You look beautiful. How about another round of applause for Lindsay and the gang? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen. And all the time. Oh, let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Glory. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes.
Let's do this. We're going to tell it on the mountain. Amen. We're going to go tell it. A 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Thank you, choir. Make sure the mic's turned off before they come down. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. You got to stay up there one more time because we're going to do an offering. My bad. I'm sorry, love. Somebody want to help her right here. Yeah. My bad. Yeah. They've been doing so good, and then their teacher had to do that. See how they are? We're going to take an offering here in a minute.
How are you doing? You having a cookie? You want to get one for me? Can we just wait just a little bit? I'll have one in a little while.
Do you have a microphone, Pastor Shane?
But I appreciate that. Pardon me?
Do you have a microphone?
Yeah, I got one right here. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, that's what I need, though, is a cookie. You know what? You know, that's a pretty interesting thing for someone to just offer you something, because that's what we're about to do. We're about to offer the Lord something of our resources. We've sang and we've worshiped the Lord with our voice, but today, this morning, right now, you have an opportunity to worship the Lord in your giving. Amen. We look around this place my goodness, all these people, if they're all out there, we are going to be really short on seats. Amen. And we are in the process of laying up resources to build a building right out there. Not so we have a brand new building, but because I believe with all of my heart that God is about to break loose revival in Myrtle Creek, in Douglas County, in this South County area. And listen, if we build it, they will come. Amen. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that they're not going to come if we're not prepared. Amen. I believe that through the faithfulness of God's people in the area of the tithe and the offering, God is going to make a way that is going to stun and shock the world around us. Amen. Because who in the world with this handful of people could build a building like that out there? We can't do it, but God can. And here's what I've learned in my years of ministry, is that where God guides, He'll provide. Amen. And this morning, I believe, I'm not looking to build the church this morning. I'm looking for you to bless the Lord with your giving. Amen. The Bible says that we cannot outgive God. I've proved that to be true in my own life. And so, ushers, if you're ready, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy, Lord, for the love that you have by sending your Son to a cross. You gave the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate gift to redeem, to pay the price, to redeem lost sinners like myself, God. I'm certainly not worthy, Lord, of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, but I'm sure grateful for it. So, Lord, I thank you for this offering. I pray, God, right now that you'd bless the gift and the giver. All those watching this morning and giving online, I pray your richest blessings upon them, Lord God. Bless your people. Take these fragments, turn them to an abundance, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
I also just want to remind you that after the service today, after altar call and stuff, we've got some presents to give out.
Yes. If you go to our website at harvestca.org, you will see on there a giving button. Over on the upper right-hand corner of our bar there, of the information bar, there is a give button. And if you just click on that, it'll pop up another screen. And on the left-hand side, it says online. Little button over, it says envelope. And that's for when you get back to church, you can give the old-fashioned way if you'd like. And give in an envelope. And then over on the other side, there's another button. It's called Tithely, and that's actually an app on your phone, and you can click on that and walk through that process and be able to just give right there from your phone at any time. And for online giving, you just click on the little green button there, and it will walk you through the process of being able to give online. It's a very secure site. Everything about it is secure. You don't have to worry about your identity
being stole or any of those kinds of things. So that's up there for you to be able to give.
Shout out your praise. God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung up on that cross, he rose up from that grave, my God, roll his stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We love the quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
Go. Hallelujah. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
Well, well, well. Thank you, worship team. Good job. Good job. Give these guys a great big hand of praise, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where'd my wife go? Pamela. Where's the gift? Yeah, grab it. Grab it. Grab it. Grab it. All right, Cap, would you settle down? Good Lord. I can't take her anywhere, I'll tell you what. Kathy, there's joy in the house. Come here, Kathy. Come on up here, Kathy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just as a little token of our appreciation for your hard work and your smoking dancing skills, we just want to bless you with that. Thank you for putting together the choir that I have wanted forever. Woo! Good job. Oh, I don't care. You can go sit down. I got to preach, man. I got to preach. Open it. Oh, the kids want it open. Joy, there you go. All right. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be choirs in heaven. Amen. I mean, I think there's going to be some singing going on in the portals of glory, and I cannot wait to be a part of that. Amen? I am looking forward to it. Man, oh man, we got people on the floor. We got people on laps. It is awesome. I'm Pastor Shane. Thank you, Ron. And I just want to welcome. We've got lots of visitors in here today, and I'm grateful. I want you to know I'm grateful for every one of you in this place this morning. I pray that you sense the presence of God. We've got kids. Listen, some of you are wondering, what in the world are all these little kids doing? They're dancing and spinning around. Listen, that's exactly what that's what you all are supposed to be doing. Amen. We are supposed to dance before the Lord. We are supposed to raise our hands and worship Him. Amen. The message this whole month, our theme wrapped around Christmas has been joy. And I can't be down here. I got to get up here where I can see people. Amen. I feel kind of undressed, but without my pulpit up here, but it's going to be okay. I'm sure of it. Amen. We got a roamer. We got a roamer. Listen, we ought to, when we come to church, folks, listen to me, we ought to have the most fun that we have all week long in the house of God. There ought to be freedom and liberty and joy in the house of the Lord. And we have just this morning, just in the last several minutes, listened to several songs, some worship songs, songs that have been declaring the worth of a baby in a manger. Why in the world is everybody getting worked up about a baby in a manger? Because it's more than a baby in a manger. It's a king in the manger. It's a savior in the manger. It's a sacrifice in the manger. It's our redeemer in the manger. Amen. He did not come to rule with an iron fist. He came to set captives free. Amen. How many of you know that when man fell in the garden, that there was a division, there was a separation, there was a gap, there was a chasm developed between a righteous and a holy God and sinful fallen mankind? And Jesus Christ was born and lived 33 and a half years on this earth. And His purpose was to live His life, to show the way, and to ultimately give His life as a ransom. You know what a ransom is? A ransom is a price paid to redeem something from someone else. And so the ransom has been paid for you and for me today by Jesus. Amen? Listen, I know everybody thinks Christmas is about Santa Claus and Rudolph. I got news for you. It ain't about that at all. It's about a baby in a manger. No, He wasn't born December 25th. Just to clear that up. He was probably born sometime in the spring. But we had to pick a day to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And we chose December 25th. Woo! We're not talking about just any baby. This baby that was born in a manger is the Son of the Most High God. Amen. Conceived in the womb of a virgin that was betrothed to a man. They had not known each other in the biblical sense of the word. Try explaining that to your friends. Listen, you can't be just a little bit pregnant. Mary was all in. Be it unto me as you have said, she spoke to the angel. This is the baby that we're talking about. This is the baby that brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's because of this baby that we have the freedom and the liberty to face tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I know I'm a mess. My past is a mess. But here's the good news. I do not live in my past. I live in the moment. I live today because my God said the grace is sufficient for me today. I can't go back and fix yesterday. I can't do anything at all about tomorrow except prepare for it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, that's not our typical Christmas passage. But listen to what it says. See if it doesn't change your mind just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. This is, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Ask yourself this question. What is this passage speaking to me? What does this passage say to me? What does this passage have to do with joy and with the birth of a baby in a manger? Well, let me help you with that just in the next few moments. See, this passage speaks of things like greatly rejoice. Do you know what it means to rejoice? To rejoice means to spin violently. How many of you knew that? Anybody? To spin violent. Let me tell you something. If you're bound up by the things of this world, you cannot spin violently. If you're chained down, if you're bound up and your hands are tied and you try and spin, you're only going to get about that far. Right, Dennis? We're just hung up right there. But when we are set free, when the bonds of sin and all of the mess in our life, when all of that gets broken off of our life, we are set free and we can begin to spin violently because we're set free. We're set free. Speaks of being of things like greatly rejoice. How about various trials? I probably don't have to look very far for somebody to have some various trials. Hallelujah. Various trials, they just kind of show up. How about this one? It talks about the genuineness of your faith. How genuine is your faith? Is your faith going to get you through today and into tomorrow? Is your faith securing a place in heaven for you today? Genuineness of your faith. How about the revelation of Jesus Christ? See, it says in verse 8 and 9, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible joy and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, when we realize the mission of this baby in the manger, it will absolutely transform and change your life. He's not just a fairy tale, folks. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's our soon coming King. Hey, hey. He's the greatest present you'll unwrap this year if you haven't already unwrapped him. I want to take you to the sheep pastures of the hills of Bethlehem to illustrate what it is that I'm trying to say. And Tammy and I have been to Israel and we've seen these rolling hills where the shepherds even today still walk with their sheep and stay with their flocks and protect their flocks night and day. Luke chapter 2, starting down in verse 8 through 11. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord." Listen, Jesus Christ was not born to the Jews. Jesus Christ was not born just to the Gentiles. He was born to all the world. He was born to you and to me. Amen? Woo! It ought to make you want to shout. See, the first announcement of the Messiah's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. Which makes me want to ask some questions. Why shepherds? Why shepherds? What's with the shepherds? Why not to the priests or the scribes? Why didn't he send the angels to the church, to the religious folks? What's that? That's exactly right. But there's something else about shepherds. Shepherds were outcasts. Listen, if anybody needed to get saved, it was them sheep herders. Amen. I'm just telling you. Why not the priests and the scribes? And so by visiting the shepherds, the angel revealed the grace of God toward mankind, because shepherds were really literally outcasts in Israel. Their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but it kept them from the temple for weeks at a time, so they could not even be made clean. They couldn't perform the rituals that was necessary for spiritual cleansing to be made clean enough to go into the temple. So their work made them ceremonially unclean. But let me tell you something. God does not call the rich and the mighty. He calls the poor and the lowly. God does not call the highly educated. God does not call the heavily gifted folks. He calls people just like you and me. And if you know anything about me, you know I'm not one of those people. I'm a lowly whatever that God has just decided to use me as a mouthpiece. Because I have a big mouth. Amen. I knew I'd get some amens on that. Without question. I'm surprised my family over here didn't just chime in chorus. I'm thrilled to death to have my family from above Tiller here with us this morning. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Amen. Listen, shepherds are not easily fooled. Shepherds were practical men of the world, and they have had very little to do with fantasy. And if they said that they saw angels and went and found the Messiah, you could pretty well believe them. Let me tell you something. I'm thinking them shepherds don't scare very easy. But great fear fell on them when the angels showed up. I mean, they're just out there tending their little happy sheep. Everything's going well. Bam! Great light shone all around them, and this angel shows up. Bob, as big as you are, I'm thinking you'd have been quaking in your boots, buddy. What? Listen, God selected hardworking men to be the first witnesses that His Son had come into the world. First, one angel, probably Gabriel, who knows, and gave this glad announcement. And then this whole chorus of angels joins in and begins to give this anthem of praise. And for the first time in centuries, the glory of God returned to the earth because it had departed. and God's glory showed back up. The Shekinah glory. That's what was illuminating that place. And I'll tell you one thing. If you want to pray for me, pray that God answers my most favorite prayer. And that is that the Shekinah glory of God would show up in this place. I'm telling you what, that was set this preacher free like none other. And for the first time, the glory had returned to the earth. And if brave shepherds were afraid of what they saw and what they heard, you can be sure that it was real. He said, fear not. And fear not is one of the key things in the whole Christmas story. In Luke chapter 1, when the angel showed up to Zechariah, he said, fear not. Be not afraid. In verse 1 and chapter 30, when he showed up and talked to Mary in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, when the angel of the Lord began to speak to Joseph, because Joseph has to try, not only does Mary have to explain, but Joseph has to probably give some explanation as to why his wife is with child. He loved his wife. And he was mindful to put her away quietly. He didn't want to make a big show of it. And the angel of the Lord in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 shows up and says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. That which has is that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, is of God. Mercy. Literally, the angel said, I announce to you good news, a great joy which will be to all people. Every one of you in this room, this kind of joy is available for you. Every person in Myrtle Creek, every person sleeping down by the river or underneath a bridge or in a car somewhere, this kind of joy is available to them. He uses the word which means to preach the good news, a word that Luke uses often in both his gospel and also in the book of Acts. And we see here Luke's emphasis is on a worldwide gospel. Let me tell you something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Can I tell you something this morning? Newsflash, you're whosoever. You are whosoever. It don't make a difference who you are. My God will save you, and you have not been too bad. You have not been too bad. It's a worldwide gospel. God said in His Word, I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. That's His plan. That's why Jesus went to the cross, folks. So what was the good news? It wasn't that God had sent a soldier or a judge or a reformer, but He had sent a Savior to meet man's greatest need. In the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day, the Lord, this day is holy, rather, to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept, and they heard the words of the law. And he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared. And for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. See, as Ezra read and explained the word, the assembly's first response was conviction, and it was grief. They mourned over their sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law can't save you. Church, you can't be good enough to get saved. You can't follow enough precepts and principles to make your way into heaven. You cannot fulfill or satisfy the law. The law can't save it. It only its only purpose is to convince us that we need to be saved, and then it points us towards the Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God brings conviction. The Word of God leads us to repentance, but it also brings us joy. For the same Word that wounds also heals. Listen to this, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name. Look at Psalm chapter 19 and verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Psalm 119 verse 111. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Church, the secret of Christian joy is to believe that God says in it, to believe what God says in His Word and act upon it. We put the verses up on the screen so people can see them. And because we do that, most people today don't bring their Bible to church. Let me tell you something. You need to bring your Bible to church. You need to see if what I'm saying lines up with your Bible, with God's Word, for yourself, on your own. Because the truth of the matter is, I can have Miss Jeannie put anything I want on these screens. And if we... I didn't say it. God said it. He said, we're like sheep. I don't know what, if you know anything about sheep. I'll just leave that there. Sheep, not the sharpest tool in the shed. Let me just say that. But God refers to us as the sheep of His pasture. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what God said. And so the reality is, what I'm saying is, I can have anything put on this screen that I want to have, and if you don't have some point of reference to validate what I've put up there, you could be led astray just because I'm a nice guy. I look kind of trustworthy, don't I, Ray? I mean, you settle down. No cookies for you, Johnny. You're getting a lump of coal. You're getting a lump of coal. Oh, bless his heart. The truth hurts. All right. I don't even know where I'm at. Can I just tell you? The secret of Christian joy is to believe what God's Word says. Can I tell you this morning that there are churches in the United States of America, I mean big churches, huge churches, some of the biggest churches in our nation. And their pastors, I've heard them say, we don't preach about sin in our church. People feel bad enough already about their life. Why would I preach about sin and make them feel worse? Let me tell you something. The day I heard about my sin and confessed my sin to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who paid the ransom for my sin, when I got set free from all of that mess, that was the greatest day I ever had in my entire life, folks. Listen, God's Word will convict you of your sin. God's Word will also heal you and protect you, and you will begin to rejoice. Can I tell you this morning that faith that isn't based upon the Word of God is not faith at all. It's presumption or it's superstition. Joy that isn't the result of faith is not joy at all. It's only some bubbly good feeling, butterflies in my tummy, whatever you want to call it. But I promise you this, that kind of joy will soon disappear. Faith that is based on the Word of God is the only thing that will produce joy and that will weather all of the storms of life. I promise you, folks, there are storms coming. If you read your Bible, you'll find in there that the Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be for the coming of the Lord. Listen, we don't have to look very far, church, to see the mess that's going on around us. And God's not going to put up with it forever. And I don't know the day and I don't know the hour, but I do know this. He said to be ready. The thief comes in the night. And nobody knows when. Nobody knows the hour. All he said is be ready. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me. We've had a lot of fun in here this morning. We've laughed. We've kidded around. And we've been serious. Right now, it's really serious. Right now, you have an opportunity today to commit your life to Jesus Christ, to receive the very greatest gift. In just a moment, we're going to hand out some presents to these children. We want to be a blessing to them, but I want to tell you something. The greatest gift to mankind has already been given. This baby in the manger was given as a gift to all mankind, to you and I. We've never seen him, yet we love him. He loves you. I'm here today to tell you that He loves you. I'm here today to tell you that unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not make heaven your home. You can't be good enough. Well, Pastor, I don't lie and I don't mess around. I obey all the laws. I'm good to my family. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. But do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Because if you have not, heaven won't be yours. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." It's not a mystery. It's not a complicated formula. The Bible says this. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. He said, if you confess your sins to me, I'll remember your sins no more forever. He says in another place, I will cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. That, my friends, is a long, long ways. But it all starts with your confession. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His only begotten Son into the world for that purpose. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying right now. My question to you is this. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and your Savior? If you cannot answer that with an absolute yes, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up because I want to pray with you. I want to see God do a work in your life today. I want you to have the very greatest gift known to man, the Son of the Most High God. If you need Jesus, you've never accepted Him today, I want to pray with you. I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody in this place, say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Well, glory. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. Jesus, I thank you for coming, being born in a manger, living for 33 and a half years, only to be crucified to redeem us. God, may this Christmas truly, truly be about who Jesus is, the greatest gift of all. Father, I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. If you want